for most of the law firms. It's things that attorneys need to do, but they don't really like doing them, or it takes up too much of their time. It's that data entry. It's, you know, keeping up with contacts and just maybe sending out engagement letters and all the CRM databases that need to be updated. Those are all things that you need to do, but maybe you don't have time to do them.
Welcome to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Series. My name is Adam Arkfeld, an entrepreneur, marketer, and seeker of high-performing habits, tips, and strategies. Each week, I'll bring to you an elite performer, a legal expert, or simply a strategy to help you see and follow the path to personal greatness in your firm and life. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to the High Performance Legal Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Arkfeld, president and founder of Prevail Legal Marketing. And today I have Golly Vega, owner of Golly Vega Virtual Administrative Assistant Services, joining me. We're going to be talking about the VA world and how to leverage VAs for you and your business and your law firm. Golly, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Adam.
Yeah. Why don't you just start off by telling us a little bit about your background and how you got into this industry and business?
It actually, for me, it happened organically. But so prior to having my own business, I worked in a small law firm in Newport Beach, California. I worked there for about 4 years. And then life happened. I got married. I was a stay-at-home wife and then a stay-at-home mom. And that didn't last long. I knew from the beginning that I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home wife. But, you know, my husband was like, no, I just want you to, you know, take it easy. You know, I always work the 9 to 5. And I respect stay-at-home moms. I think it's a wonderful career because it's actually a career. It's 24/7. But for me personally, I knew I wanted to do more. So I reached out to my former boss and I said, hey, you know, I would love to kind of help you out, because she then left and started her own business. If you have anything for me, I could help you like on the side, just so I have something to do. And she said, of course, Golly, you know, I'll send you some stuff. I started doing very light administrative work for her and just kind of some marketing work for her. And then after she kind of told me like, hey, you know, I feel like you're really good at this. Maybe you should consider like bringing on more clients. But 9 years ago, it wasn't so big and nothing was so clear, like how to start a virtual assistant business. I didn't even know you could start a virtual assistant business. So I kind of started researching and really to understand like how it worked. Then she kind of referred another client to me and I kind of started taking on small tasks from there. And I think I didn't mean for it to become a business, but it just kind of happened. So then, another client was referred to me and then another one. And I was like, wow, you know, things are happening so fast. This is kind of cool. I think I could get used to this. So I think for me, it just kind of happened. Like, clients just started coming in word of mouth. I never did marketing at the beginning. And then when finally I had too much work for myself, I was like, I'm just going to bring on an assistant and maybe she could help me with a couple hours here and there. And then I was like, well, maybe I could bring on another assistant, or how about a paralegal or a legal assistant? I'm very lucky. I've never really had to do any marketing. All of my clients have referred the business to me, which I think it's awesome. But that's kind of how it happened for me. And I remember like at the beginning, like it was so hard to like work from home and have like my 8-month-old crawling around and trying to grab my computer. And it wasn't easy. But now I look back and I'm like, wow, I can't believe I've come this far. Now we're a team of 5. And I know that doesn't sound big, but like for me, that I've never really thought it was going to become a business. Like for me, that's big, you know? And that's kind of how I got to where I am. And I think that my background really, really made like what my business is today, like just the legal background. And it's funny, but mostly attorneys started coming to me. So that's kind of where I landed, like in that industry, like serving law firms and serving also like even PR, but they all work with law firms. So I'm already in that same industry.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, when you offer a service and it's needed, I mean, you can tell by the referrals and by, you know, the way that it sort of takes off that you're filling a serious need. So mm-hmm. What was the type of work that you were doing for the first firm and the others? You know, what was that need that you were filling that gap? And why do you think you were so effective with it?
I think for the most part, it's the day-to-day tasks, the repetitive tasks mostly for most of the law firms. It's things that attorneys need to do, but they don't really like doing them, or it takes up too much of their time. It's that data entry. It's, you know, keeping up with contacts and just maybe sending out engagement letters and all the CRM databases that need to be updated. Those are all things that you need to do, but maybe you don't have time to do them. So, and it takes up a lot of their time that could be billed on an attorney's hourly rate, and not, you know, these tasks take up so much time, and they really want to, especially I mainly work with like smaller law firms that need to make a better use of their time. So I think for like a virtual assistant to say, okay, let me tackle this and let me get this out of their way because it needs to be done. But I mean, does an attorney really need to do these tasks? Probably not. They shouldn't be doing them, and maybe they don't want to do them. So it's kind of like the tasks that need to be done, but they shouldn't be doing them.
Right. Now, would you say, you know, what's the distinction? When should someone hire a company like yours versus having an administrative assistant that they have internally just full time? You know, you mentioned smaller firms. Is it you're working with firms that are sort of too small to have their own admin, or do you work alongside admins, or how does that normally work?
Okay. So, I have been brought on like with larger law firms to like handle overflow. So maybe the administrative assistant at the time is like, I'm overwhelmed, or we have this one-time project that has to be done and we have a certain deadline and we need someone to just handle the repetitive tasks for a one-time project. Then that's when they bring me on. But for like smaller firms, I think for smaller firms, it's important for the, I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Well, just, you know, with smaller firms, are you kind of acting as their administrative assistant, or are you working alongside administrative assistants?
No. With smaller firms, I'm like the actual administrative assistant. So I'll have clients that will bring me on board for like 5 hours a month just to handle the data entry, sending invoices, maybe scheduling a couple follow-up calls here and there. That's what I do with like the smaller firms, but they are like bigger firms or bigger companies that also bring me on to just manage the day-to-day tasks, like on a daily basis. So I think it just depends on their workflow. And like I said, it really depends on their needs and, not necessarily where they're at in business. So even if they're small, I feel like they could always use that extra help. Most virtual assistants will only charge for the hours used. So even if they only need 5 hours a month, to them, saving 5 hours a month to do other things, that's huge for them.
And what are the types of tasks that are best for a VA team to do? I mean, I think it's amazing that you have, I think it's, you know, your legal background is a huge advantage for an attorney, right? Because you understand kind of how the office works, things like that. So when you're engaging with new people, what do you see as the kind of like the most value you could add? And then maybe what are some tasks that are just not good for your team because they require design work, or they require, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, what are good and bad tasks?
Good. That's a good question. So I think back and forth emailing, it takes time. It's time consuming. Scheduling a lot of the clients that require scheduling, and like the clients that I've managed, they like the touch of the client. Like they like the client to feel like someone is keeping up with me and someone's seeing how I'm doing, just to get that relationship going and maybe create more work for the client. So I think the emailing, contacting the client, make sure they follow up with the client, and just to maintain the relationship. So calendaring is a very good one. A lot of attorneys prefer maybe like Calendly, but I feel like it doesn't really, it doesn't feel as personal as if to like, let me have my assistant reach out and make sure everything's okay. I think either way it works. The schedule managers are time-saving tools that are great. I wouldn't necessarily say there's bad tasks, but for us personally, like I think marketing is like, at the beginning I started doing marketing, and then I was like, no, attorneys are a little more difficult when it comes to marketing. I feel like they need to go with like an actual marketing firm. So that was difficult for me. And it's not that it was a bad task. It wasn't for us. Like marketing was very difficult with law firms. And there's firms that are only dedicated to law firms. And I think that is great, but that's just not for a VA in general.
Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, some thoughts that have crossed my mind, and there's a lot of different types of VA firms, right? There's many that offshore. I don't know if you offshore or not. You know, one of my concerns, and I don't have a VA, but it's always sort of been like quality or, you know, just, so can you speak to that? I mean, what are the different scenarios that are out there? And then what are the pros and cons of them? I mean, I'm sure you fit in a very specific niche and, you know, you clearly like yours, but I mean, like what are some benefits and options that people can consider?
Okay. I definitely think, if a law firm wants a VA, I definitely think they need someone within their industry, because we understand them, because we know the terminology, we know maybe the way they like to work. I, for one, know that attorneys are very dedicated to their job, and they're very mindful of their clients. And I feel that when you have someone with that experience, they have the ability to communicate in a certain way with their clients. Whereas if you're offshoring, and maybe, you know, I know like some people like to outsource like overseas, and maybe their English isn't as good as a VA in the United States. But I definitely think it's very important to have someone in your industry, and not necessarily like a virtual assistant that knows corporate law or business law, or just someone that knows a law firm in general or lawyers in general.
And when attorneys are working with their VAs, I mean, what are some best practices and advice you can give an attorney to be effective? I mean, you know, as business owners, there's different communication styles. Mm-hmm. I would say business owners in general, not just attorneys, are probably hard people to work with. So what are things they can do to help the relationship be successful?
That is a great question. I think communication is key. I feel like you can't just throw things at a virtual assistant and expect them to get it done and understand what you mean. I think it's very important that if you bring a VA on board since the beginning, like say, this is what I need, this is the outcome I want, and this is like what I'm expecting from you. And just, I personally like Slack or any communication tool, just to send a quick note, like, are you okay with me scheduling this? Or do you have time for this? Or can you review this project before I send it off to the client? So my number one thing would be for the attorney or the CEO or client to take the time and get to know and get to really know the assistant.
Yeah. And so communication tools. And so do you recommend something like Slack? I mean, is that how Is that how your teams like to communicate back and forth to get the message delivered, or is it typically emails to confirm that, or what tools do you recommend?
I recommend, so I have three that are my favorites. So any project management tool like Teamworks or Teams, where you could just enter tasks and keep up with these certain tasks, check them off once they're done. The person gets a notification when the task is entered. And I feel like this keeps you organized and it keeps the client up to date. So, and this way, nothing for the VA falls off the cracks, right? Or into the cracks. So, so I really like Teams, Teamworks, maybe even like Zoho, or Zoho has the integrated app in there. What are another one? I really like HiRise as well, where you enter the task, you know, enter the notes, and until it's crossed off, you'll know that it's been completed. Those are a couple of my favorite tools, especially like project management systems. Smartsheets is a great one as well, where if you're managing multiple clients or managing multiple projects at the same time, it's a great way to just keep yourself organized and the entire firm organized and everybody's up to date. Those are some of my favorites.
So if there's an attorney sitting out there listening right now and they're thinking, you know, I would like to use a VA, but I want to start with like a smaller engagement just to get my head around it, you know, kind of feel it out. What would you recommend that looks like? I mean, what would the tasks be? I mean, how many hours do you think it would be? What's sort of like an entry level scenario look like?
I would recommend, because, you know, everybody works differently. So I would recommend there are VAs that offer one-time projects. So maybe if you have like, oh, I want to clean up my Dropbox or organize my Dropbox. So maybe start there, get to know someone. You only pay for that one-time project, and you budget a certain amount of hours. And this way you kind of see how the VA works, how efficiently she works or he, and is she going to get the test done and how they get the test done. If that doesn't work out, then there are wonderful VAs out there and there are people that are capable of so much and they can take so much off your plate. But I would say a one-time project to just kind of get to know the VA would be the best way to start.
And then, you know, if that works out, what do you feel like is the most effective sort of starting tasks? I mean, you mentioned calendaring, you mentioned maybe like email communication with clients. I think you also mentioned invoicing. Those kind of seem like they might be sort of easier tasks to get started with to establish a relationship that maybe build into other things. Are those the type of tasks or what else might there be?
Well, there's also, because there's virtual assistants and then there's legal assistants and paralegal. So I would say like drafting correspondence, maybe pleadings or more of the legal stuff that maybe a VA can put it together. Or if sometimes attorneys have templates and they just need the information entered in there and then they just hand it off to the attorney review and then sends it off to the client. So I think more of like creating correspondence, creating more of the legal document stuff. But I think it kind of just has to flow into it. Like first you have to kind of get to know the VA, see how she works. What is she capable of? Maybe I think the hardest part is just delegating, like learning to delegate. I know for a lot of people that's really hard, like letting go of certain tasks that you think only you can do. But, you know, you start gradually. You start maybe by, well, I don't know, like send this email, see how their communication is between the client, let the client kind of get to know the clients kind of get to know them. And I feel, maybe I think the best way to do it is do it like make a list of things that you feel can be outsourced. And once you see what they're capable of, you can gradually like start, sending off more tasks, like bigger tasks or bigger projects.
Yeah. And it seems like it would be a really effective way to start building out some processes for the team, right? I mean, you just mentioned having templates for certain types of documents. And if you're always doing it yourself, you know, you might just be in the habit of not doing a template or kind of like doing it the hard way because it's very fast for you because you just know it. But then when you have to train someone else and delegate it out, then all of a sudden spending the time on the process makes a lot of sense. And I've heard someone say, I think the number was spend 10 times. You should expect to spend 10 times the amount of time it takes you to do a task to train a task.
Right.
So if it takes you 30 minutes, it should take you, you know, 5 hours or whatever, 300 minutes to train and like get it into a spot where you don't have to do it anymore. It's a lot of investment up front, but the ROI long-term is really high.
Right.
Yeah. So you mentioned, email communication and the email communication as the assistant, like the person's name is on it, presumably. One of the, and I'm just kind of bringing up concerns that I would have in this scenario. So I'm not challenging anything, but I'm assuming attorneys might think the same thing. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, do virtual assistants turn over a lot? Like, is it like, okay, I'm going to have a new virtual assistant every 3 months? Or what's the longevity of the virtual assistant look like in your business and what you've seen in other businesses?
Okay. Well, personally, I've been with the same clients for over 4 years. So I think to build a relationship with a VA, you really have to work at it. Well, most of the time, I've made sure that my VAs are in for the long run because it's hard to keep someone or to hire someone. And then they're like, you know what, this isn't for me. See, and then you have to train again. And that's wasted money, you know? So I really try to make sure, like, at least in my team, that they're committed to the clients and to the job, because it's not easy for an attorney or any client to take time out of their day to train. What I do recommend is when an attorney brings on a VA, that they have the VA create a process sheet or SOPs, I should say. So if, you know, life happens sometimes, I'm not going to say it's not, if someone else comes along, they kind of have like a better idea of the process and how certain things are done and how the attorney likes certain things done. Like, for example, if they're calendaring, then you make a process sheet of how they like it done, how they like it titled, when to schedule, when not to schedule. A very detailed, the SOPs have to be really detailed. And that way it saves you kind of some time when someone else comes on board, which let's hope it doesn't happen often, but it happens. You know, people move on sometimes. And I would like to say it doesn't, but the SOPs are the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, it would be unrealistic to expect that someone never changes, but, you know, I really like that idea of the virtual assistant is creating the process while they're doing it so that the attorney doesn't have to do it or the business owner doesn't have to do it. It's like when you start talking about these things, in my mind, I kind of go to like, oh, now I got to create these processes.
Right.
But in reality, you probably don't. You probably just have the other, I mean, that's kind of the whole point. Just have someone to help you do the things you don't want to do or don't have the time to do.
Right.
Yeah. So with, you know, kind of just talking about your business in general, what do you, so the model is you bring in virtual assistants to work for you. Are they typically full-time? Are they all working remotely? I mean, what does that just sort of look like?
Yes, they're all working remotely. Most of them are part-time and they work from, I mean, we've never met, just virtually. So they're all over, well, I only have other than myself, it's four of us. So they're spread out across the United States. But we communicate, you know, on a daily basis. So that's kind of how it works. I hope to meet them someday, but you know, with COVID now, it's unknown.
Yeah. And what do you feel is one of the most difficult things you have to deal with in your business on a regular basis? Like, what are some challenging parts of the business model or just the business in general?
Challenging. I would say just, I don't really have a set schedule. Like, I work pretty much like since I wake up until like I reply to emails. So it gives you freedom but it doesn't necessarily, you're not free. I mean, it's still, I think as any business owner, you're not really free at any time because you're running this business, you know, you have to keep it afloat. So it's really up to you. And at the beginning, I struggled like not having a set schedule because I was so used to 9 to 5 and it was like 5 o'clock. See you tomorrow, you know. And when you have a business, it's like you get an email at 9 and that client has an urgent matter, then you reply at 9 p.m. at night. So now I'm used to it. Now it's like my business is like, you know, it's my baby. So I don't care if I have to reply at 9 p.m. But I think just not having the set schedule and not being able to just say, okay, well, I'm going to take 2 weeks off because it's not as easy, you know, because I have all these other people that are counting on me and virtual assistants that are counting on me to like bring in more work. And I think just the scheduling, just not having as much freedom as if I were to just work for someone else. But like I said, like I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah. All right. Well, just have one more question for you and put you on the spot a little bit. But the question is, what's sort of like one thing that you wish maybe your clients or prospects knew about your business that they don't know? So as an example, you know, for me, we do pay-per-click advertising and I kind of wish, you know, a lot of times people will come and they'll say, well, you already do pay-per-click, so you should just be able to like turn it on and the campaigns will work every single time. And that's just like not exactly how it goes. It's just, it seems like that would work because that's like what we do, but it's like, no, there's like a lot of other variables that go in and it's not a perfect model. So what's just maybe something you wish that your clients knew about your business that they don't, or that would surprise them?
Let's see. Well, I think at the beginning, I didn't offer paralegal services for a really long time. I just kind of like, maybe a year ago started like having that service. So I think paralegal services, like I think most people know me for like virtual assistant services. And I wish they knew like, well, like we can also offer legal assistant and paralegal services. But I think I, for the longest time, like I wouldn't really mention it. It was just like administrative assistant services, because that's like my business name. So I feel like it doesn't really give it away that we offer other services like paralegals and legal assistants. So I think that's it.
Right.
Just the paralegal and legal assistant services.
Sure. All right, Golly. Well, thank you so much. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, where do they find you?
Well, they could visit my website. It's gallyvega.com. It's GALYVEGA. I'm also on LinkedIn, huge on LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I believe it's just Golly Vega, virtual administrative assistant services is where they could find me.
Quick question on LinkedIn. Do you get a lot of clients from LinkedIn?
I started my entire business using LinkedIn. And I used to not be on Facebook. I used to not be on Instagram. And all my clients have been through LinkedIn and word of mouth, of course. But LinkedIn has been like my biggest one. I feel like if you, because it's not so crowded as like Facebook, I feel like LinkedIn is the best way to go as a business owner, because there's other businesses, especially for like attorneys, you know, small businesses, large businesses. LinkedIn is the way to go.
And is your strategy, sorry, I'm just, we were closing out and then you got me curious. Is your strategy on there to kind of post, you know, content and then, or do you do proactive outreach, like kind of cold outreach, or how do you generate the prospects?
I'll tell you my secret. I do some posting. I try to post at least once or twice a week. But I do like to, if I see like, okay, this person could definitely use my services, I like to reach out and introduce myself. I don't try to sell anything, but I introduce myself and I tell them what I do. I don't say like, this is how I can help you or anything. I just say, you know, Golly Vega from Golly Vega Virtual Assistant Services. We provide da 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 da, and would love to connect. That's it. And most of the time, if they're looking for someone, they're like, oh my gosh, like I totally need that. And she services the legal industry and they'll reach out. So, and most of the clients that I'm working with now, they're like, thank you so much for reaching out. I really never reply to emails like messages like that, but I was looking for one. So it works, you know, if it's someone within your industry and they feel the need, especially with law firms, it's virtual assistant services for law firms was like nothing before. Like I remember being in a marketing event and no one knew what a virtual assistant was. No one. Everybody thought it was like this answering service. And I was like, no, let me explain. And they were like, wow, that's so cool. So I love LinkedIn and I tried Facebook for a bit, but it's way too saturated, too much competition in there. But LinkedIn, I feel like it's a little, you're connected to people that need your services anyways, right? So you're selling to the right crowd.
Yeah. And, you know, people are on there for business, right? So I think on Facebook, there's a little bit of a disconnect between business and personal, right? They're on there for personal, then you're pitching right. Business. And on LinkedIn, that's kind of what they're there for. And, you know, if you don't like the automation thing, I think really annoys people. Like when you connect and then all of a sudden you're getting all these messages, you know, if you just connect and say, this is what I do. If someone is interested, they will reach out. That's happened to me before. I connected. I said, hey, you know, they like commented on my post or something. And then the guy just said, oh, this guy in my office is looking for PPC. I'm going to connect you with him. And I didn't even say anything. And I'm just like, sounds good. And now they're a client.
Yeah. As well. Like I don't like selling because I hate when people reach out to me and try to sell their services. It's I don't like it. So I don't do it, but I just introduce myself. And if they're in a need, then they'll reach out, you know?
Yeah. Great. Yeah. All right. Well, Gali, thank you so much. The website was galivega.com, GALYVEGA.com. Correct. So thank you for joining us. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. And to everybody listening, thank you for listening. And we will see you in the next episode.